Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board to join with us in the dialogue and the discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about today, what is the Lamb's Book of Life? You ever heard that term? The Lamb's Book of Life, or just the Book of Life. There's confusion about the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life. Are they the same? Is there a difference? What is the Lamb's Book of Life? Whose name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How will that be used? What is it for? When was it instituted? Who set it up? Who put the names in there? All of those things we're going to discuss in part today as we look at that issue. What is the Lamb's Book of Life? Let me remind you, you can have your 2 cents worth in, as some call it. You can join the dialogue and discussion by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the discussion of issues as we carry out each and every day on this broadcast, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's not a matter of ideological bents, not based on denominational dogma. We do not base our decision and our position on some philosophical rhetoric or some political ideology. It is based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called having a central biblicist worldview, a central biblicist worldview. Perhaps you've never heard that term before. I have been using it for about 40 plus years, 40, 50 years, a central biblicist worldview. Multitudes have never heard that term, never used the term, could not understand, recognize what that term means. A central biblicist worldview simply means that we analyze everything in life, whether it be political, social, economic, theological, doctrinal, whatever we view it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's not anything that we see taking place today, that is happening today, that God has not already covered, detailed, and given us insight and direction as to what to say and how to respond to it. The Bible should be the light under our feet and the lamp under our pathway. Psalms 119, verse 105 is very, very clear that that's what we should do, is use the Word of God. It is the Lord Jesus that said, as he's speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, ye shall know the truth if you continue in my word. If you continue in my word, then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's staying in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that is so imperative in our society today. We are hearing all kinds of rumblings today about a collapse of the economy, about a food famine, about the potential of Third World War, and I could go on and on and on and on with what we're hearing today. Should we simply be frightened, fearful, and just not do anything, or should we examine the Word of God and see what God's Word says? So also, when it comes to theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, there are a lot of things being said today that simply do not align with the Scripture. We need to go back to the Scripture and analyze it. It was Jesus that said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And then further, the Lord Jesus says in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. But ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. It is the truth of the Lord that endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought after today. Truth is denied, rejected, repulsed, and refused. It goes back to the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that very thing taking place in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I commend that to us. I believe that we're going to rapidly find that we're living in the era that to tell the truth will be prosecuted and persecuted. The disinformation board that's established now by the Department of Homeland Security is designed to persecute and prosecute truth. It's not to persecute and prosecute a lie, but the truth. And we find that is going to be the focus in the days to come against the Christian church, the pastors, and the ministries of our local New Testament churches. We need to be aware of that, and this is the reason it's so vital that we understand biblical, theological, doctrinal truths. It's the reason we're talking about today, what is the Lamb's Book of Life. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the landscape and lawn care business for those that want to own their own businesses. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And we're in the hurricane season, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. It's an identification marker, a gigantic flag, about 165 feet in the air. The Old Glory U.S. flag is flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly oriented environment where Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing its entire staff to be off to worship in the house of God with the children of God as God's word intended it for us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview and see what God does as far as placing you in the company and the home of Tools for Time. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today our friend, and brother in Christ, pastor from Folkestone, Georgia. Welcome to be with us today, Pastor Davis. Delighted to have you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And I first want to say I give honor to God the Father, who's the head of my life, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, I want to say hello, good morning to my bride of 36 years. Amen. All of my family and friends. Amen. To my friends in blue, Chief Wesley Green, all of those, amen, that are serving to protect our city back in Folkestone.
Amen.
We thank God for you putting your lives on the line.
Amen.
We realize that's not an easy job.
That's right.
We pray God for your protection.
Yes.
Each and every day. Because of the thing that we see that are going on, Dr. Youngblood, that devil is wreaking havoc.
You got it.
So it's high time for us as Christians on today to realize we have not done anything so good that we deserve to be where we are today.
That's right.
But we are sinners saved by grace. And for that reason, we ought to believe in the Son of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely. And one of the things you touched on, and it perked my recollection, and we need to recognize across the nation, we ought not to be thinking about, I don't care what party it's from, what they call defunding the police.
Amen.
We need to recognize that God ordained that to be so that there could be some order in civil society and so that human beings could be protected. And yet we have those today screaming defund the police and shouting against the police and wanting to shoot the police. We need to recognize that they are the men and women in blue that's here to protect us, and I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
You find
Amen.
Chaos and confusion increasing because we have fewer and fewer today that wants to get into that uniform because of being demeaned and disgraced, as we found I call it the loose likes, lost liberals on the left
Amen.
Have been doing. But Pastor, we're talking about today, what is the Lamb's Book of Life? And ladies and gentlemen, if you've questioned that, or if you have other theological doctrinal questions in relationship to, or in a way interrelated with that, we'd love to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But let me ask you a question. This is for our listening audience. Can you recall the day, the time, that you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Can you recall that? Do you remember when you made a personal, volitional decision to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? I recall April the 15th, 1958, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon in my living room, bowed on my knees before the couch with a pastor there that was interested and concerned about my relationship to Jesus. And I prayed, invited Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. April the 15th, 1958,
Amen.
I was saved. But Pastor, I want our listeners to understand, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
My
Amen.
Name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life when I said yes to Jesus. There are a lot of people that have a misunderstanding, miscalculation of that. So the question is, when was your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? When was my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Today we want to talk about the Lamb's Book of Life. What is it? What is it for? When was it written? Why is it important? How did the names get there? Who wrote them down? When were they written down and why? Because, you see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of discussion about that, and I believe it brings about consternation and confusion in the family of God, and there needs to be some clarification on that. There are a lot of people today that have some miscalculation in their mind. They've been taught theologically, doctrinally incorrect theology, and therefore they do not know. But ladies and gentlemen, there appears to be some confusion about the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life. You go to the Old Testament, and there are numerous texts that will refer to the Book of Life. Now, some of those may have a indication and pointing toward what we would call the Lamb's Book of Life. But it is not necessarily the Lamb's Book of Life
Amen.
Or the Book of Life indicating those that are saved. For example, in Psalm 69, verse 27, 28, the psalmist prays for the wicked that they'll be blotted out of the Book of Life. The wicked to be blotted out from the Book of Life. Here, I'm looking at an article that I think needs to be understood. Let's see if I can find that. Pastor, here's what one person said. The Old Testament Book of Life, or its equivalents, was a registry of the citizens of the theocratic community of Israel. To have one's name written in the Book of Life implied the privilege of participation in the temporal blessings of the theocracy, while to be erased or blotted out of this book meant exclusion from those blessings. In other words, this book had reference to the rights of citizenship for the Jewish people. And then there's a whole list of references in the Old Testament in relationship to that. Now, Pastor, I believe we can take that understanding and then go forward with what is called the type and prototype in the Scripture. The type is found in the Old Testament, prototype found in the New Testament, what we call the Lamb's Book of Life,
Amen.
Indicating those that have their names written down that will indicate we have rights and privileges into that place called heaven. That is, that our citizenship is found in heaven.
Amen. And well, Dr. Youngblood, as you said that, basically, if we give it some serious thought. If we look at it in the natural, right now, today, in every city and state, there is such a thing called a Book of Life, because every child that's born in the world, their names have to be recorded, and it comes underneath their family tree.
Mm-hmm.
If you already have a mother, father living, grandparents, whatever, that used to live and abide in that city, in the natural sense, not mm-hmm. the spiritual.
Right.
We're just trying to give reference here to right. show you how the Lamb's Book of Life is comparative to the Book of Life, which, as you so defined it a while ago, kind of described the citizens that live within the statehood of Israel or Jerusalem.
That's right.
So we still see the same thing going on today. Every child that's born has to be recorded. They have to have a birth certificate,
mm-hmm.
and they have to have a family heritage or background, so that when the parents or grandparents are no longer on the scene, they can go back and search the family history by looking in the natural book of life.
That's right. And this also, when it comes to the Lamb's book of life, those that know that we know that we know that we said yes to Jesus Christ, that our name's written down. But we're going to talk about today, Pastor, how did the name get there? Who put it there? What is it? What does it connote? And should we be concerned about it? Is it something that God put there because he has predestined you to be saved, as some people believe today? What's the reality of the Lamb's book of life? For example, in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, describing the time of great distress and end times, Daniel mentions everyone who has their name in the book will be rescued. And it's talking about that one that is the book of the living, book of life, as we would call it today. The book of life, in essence, refers to those who will enjoy the blessings of the Lord for eternity. I think that's the simplest way to state it. The blessing of the Lord for eternity in that place called heaven. Some believe that the person saved is saved, and then the name's written down. For example, if you believe that when you get saved, God's sitting there with a pencil in his hand, the eraser on the end of it, and you get saved, and he says, wow, that old boy really got saved. I'm glad. Let me write his name down. Let me add his name to the list of those that's already in my book of life. Is that the way it takes place? I don't think so, not based on the authority of the Scripture. Some say that as a result of the John Calvin's predestination, and we have John Piper today and others that believe that somehow, some way, God has predestined some to heaven and some to hell. John MacArthur preaches and teaches the same thing, that there is a predestination, and so God writes down every name that he is predestined to be saved. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not the case at all. That's not how our name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is not a book of predestination. It's not a book of predetermination from God that he's going to make you get saved or he's going to save you whether you want to get saved or not. There's a lot today, that's, Pastor, that's going on the misguided, misunderstood, misinterpreted theological train wreck that says that God has chosen some to be saved, and therefore he's predestined. It's a double predestination. He's predestined some to be saved, and therefore others are predestined to go to that place called hell. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply wrong theological thinking. It is incorrect biblically. There's no such thing as a person being predestined to be saved, where God is going to say, I'm saving you whether you want to get saved or not. You're going to be saved, and I'm going to make you get saved. That's not the way it works, ladies and gentlemen, at all. Therefore, the names are written down before the foundation of the world because God predestined some to be saved. That's simply incorrect theology. But what does the Bible teach about that? What are the evidences in the Bible of the questions that we're asking today? What is the Lamb's Book of Life? When was it written? What names are in there? And how did they get into the Lamb's Book of Life? I want us to examine several evidences of the question today as we discuss it. Pastor Davis, the Book of Life, also known as the Lamb's Book of Life, they are the same when it comes to what we understand for eternal speaking, eternal resolution of who's saved. So I want us to look at a few things, three in particular. What is the Lamb's Book of Life? What is it? In fact, let me just read you a blurb, Pastor, before we get into the dialogue on that. Here's the wrong theology. The wrong theology says this. I'm reading from an article that has the title, Is Your Name Written in the Lamb's Book of Life? This article says, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world, wrote the names of every person who will ever live in the Book of Life. He wrote your name in the book. Will you choose for it to be sealed for eternity or permanently blotted out? If you receive him as your personal Savior by faith, it is in his finished work at the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. Your name will be permanently sealed in the book and cannot be blotted out. But if you reject so great a salvation sacrifice, your name will be permanently blotted out of the book. Which will it be for you? End quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize this paragraph that I just read from this article. There's some that have the belief that every human being that'll ever be born, that God put every human being's name in the book of life. Thus, it's called life.
Amen.
Everyone that's ever lived, past, present, future, the names are all written down. Now, this is heretical teaching. And that then, one by one, year by year, day by day, as a person refuses to get saved, God erases the name, blots the name out, blots the name out, blots the name out. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people that believe that today. There are a lot of people that believe that you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then as you do wrong, as you sin, as you fail to do what's right, your name is blotted out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply untrue, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically. It does not take place on that basis.
Amen.
Pastor, read for us, read for our listeners, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Revelation 13, 8. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is a key text to understanding what we have just talked about.
Amen.
It is a key text to understand when the Lamb's Book of Life was written. Then we'll do further study as to whose name's in it and what does it connote and how do we know that.
Amen.
Read that for us, Pastor.
Revelation 13 and 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Pastor, that is a key text. Here's why. In Revelation chapter 13, it's dealing with the Antichrist and the false prophet. And it's dealing with the fact that the Antichrist will be slain. He will be raised from the dead. And as a result of being raised from the dead, the whole world will follow the Antichrist and will literally be at his beck and call. But the scripture says in that Revelation 13 and verse 8, Pastor, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, speaking of the Antichrist.
Amen.
Worship, bow down, and pay obeisance to him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So we call it the Lamb's Book of Life, synonymous with that statement, slain from before the foundation of the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear that the name's written down before the foundation of the world, and that those that have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those that are saved, cannot, will not worship the Antichrist. Pastor, turn also to Revelation chapter 17, 17 verse 8. Is a corollary to that 13:8. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Read that for our listeners today. Let's talk about it a moment.
Revelation 17 and 8.
Correct.
The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's another clear text there that says, let me reiterate it. The scripture says that will wonder, earth shall wonder, whose names were not written, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. It is talking about that one that has the mortal wound, that one that stands in the last days as the leader of the world, that is the Antichrist. And again, it reiterates the fact that the names were written before the foundation of the world. And it's speaking of the fact, Pastor, that those that will worship and follow and be obedient to the Antichrist after the rapture of the church will be lost people. Because, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, chronologically, we'll have the rapture of the church before the Antichrist steps on the scene. And so the rapture of the church, every Christian will be taken out of this world. And those that will worship and follow the Antichrist will be those that do not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. Amen. So, Pastor, we need to understand, and our listeners need to recognize, that when we talk about that, we're talking about the Book of Life is something that is written before, pros, in front of the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Before the world ever came into existence, the Lamb's Book of Life was written, and every name written down, based on the sovereign foreknowledge of God, of those that would be saved. For example, I'm reading, one writer says, according to Revelation 13:8 and 17:8, it speaks of the beast at the end time, that's the Antichrist. All who dwell on the earth will worship it, that is, everyone whose names have not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb, the book of life, who was slain. Quote, in this case, those whose names are written in the book of life have had their names written down before the world was ever created. This verse emphasizes God's sovereignty and his foreknowledge. He knew before he created the earth the names of every person who would spend eternity in heaven.
Amen.
And Pastor, I don't know about you, but that has a solemn solemnity of comfort to know that we serve a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God come into flesh, that before the foundation of the world knew through his sovereign foreknowledge who would get saved and who would say yes to him as Savior and as Lord. And then this writer quotes on Revelation 17:8, again, unbelievers will worship the beast and are contrasted with the believers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
So, Pastor, first thing we need to understand that our listeners need to recognize is, what is the Lamb's Book of Life? It is a book. It is the book that has registered in it the names of every person, past, present, and future, that shall ever be saved. And now, it's not because, let me reiterate, it is not because of Calvinism that says in John Calvin's perverted, vastly unbiblical theological persuasions that's being adhered to by many major preachers and theologians today, some national and international broadcasters that say that there's God's elect, and those are the ones that God has predestined to be saved. Their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is not the case at all. Ladies and gentlemen, it is based on God's sovereign foreknowledge.
Amen.
God is sovereign. He knows from past, present, to the future. This is the reason we have the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, is because it's history pre-written, history, his, H-I-S, his story pre-written, so that we know what is going to take place. This is the reason I say each and every day, most of the time on this broadcast, that we need to understand that as we study the word of God, it is as though the word of God, the pages of the word of God, the words are just jumping right off the page as we see what's taking place. We hear it on the news. We see it on the television. We hear it broadcast each and every day of what we call end time events, which God has already said is going to take place. So that's based on God's sovereign foreknowledge. God's sovereign foreknowledge also knew before the foundation of the world that on April the 15th, 1958, as a young lad, I'd say yes to him as Savior and as Lord. And my name is pre-written, written down, not because I've been predestined, because it's pre-written based on God's sovereign foreknowledge that I would say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior.
Amen.
So not only what is the Lamb's Book of Life, Pastor, but in just a moment, we're going to talk about who is in the Lamb's Book of Life. What names are in there? Who are they? Who are we that we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that, because as we understand whose name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, it gives us real assurance and encouragement for each and every day's living. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to talk about what is the Lamb's Book of Life.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.